tall, powerfully built Minister of the Interior, Nikolai Dugin, sat behind the centuries-old oak desk in his office in the Kremlin. There was a computer in the center of the heavy, age-toned desk. To his right was a black telephone, and a small framed photograph of his parents sat on his left. The snapshot had a horizontal crease in the center. It had been folded by his father so he could carry it in his shirt pocket during the war. Dugin's silver-gray hair was brushed straight back. His cheeks were sunken, and his dark eyes looked tired. His plain brown GUM department store suit was wrinkled, and his light brown shoes were scuffed, a careful, studied rumpledness that had worked so well for so many years. But not this week, he thought bitterly. For the first time in 30 years of public service, his man-of-the-people image had failed him. With his characteristic intensity, he had given his people the nationalism they had said they wanted. He voiced renewed pride in the military and fanned suspicion of old enemies. Yet the people had turned on him. Dugin knew why, of course. His rival, Kirill Zhanin, had cast out a tattered net one last glorious time to try and snare the flounder of old Peter's fairy tale, the fish of the sea that would make every wish come true. Capitalism. While Dugin waited for his assistant, he looked past the seven men seated before him. His dark eyes were focused on the walls, on a history of the success of totalitarianism. Like his desk, the walls reeked of history. They were covered with ornately framed maps, some of them centuries old, maps of Russia under different czars going back to the reign of Ivan. Dugin's tired eyes took them all in, from a faded vellum map painted, it was said, with the blood of captured Teutonic knights, to a cloth map of the Kremlin which had been sewn inside the pant leg of a murdered German assassin. The world as it was, he thought, as his eyes settled upon a map of the Soviet Union that German S. Titov had carried into space in 1961. The world as it will be again. The seven men sitting on sofas and armchairs were also drawn with age. Most of them were 50 or older, some of them were over 60. Most wore suits, some had on uniforms. None spoke. The silence was broken only by the hum of the fan in the back of the computer, and then, finally, by a knock on the door. Come in. Dugin felt his heart sink as the door opened and a fresh-faced young man stepped in. There was a profound sadness in the youth's eyes, and Dugin knew what that meant. Well, Dugin demanded. I'm sorry, the young man said softly, but it's official. I reviewed the figures myself. Dugin nodded. Thank you. Shall I make the arrangements? Dugin nodded again, and the young man backed from the office. He shut the door quietly as he left. Now Dugin looked at the men. Like him, their expressions hadn't changed.